You're listening to Wheelationships.
Thank you for joining us, for choosing to be with us this morning, adjusting to rearrange tables and chairs and getting you out of your comfort zone a little bit for some of you. Meet some new people, talk to some new faces, so it's all good. We're really glad you are here this morning. As I mentioned last week, we are starting a new series this morning. Actually, it's a revamping of a series we did about 7 years ago. And in the 8 years that we've taught this class, we've been very, very intentional about not repeating subjects. We've repeated the temperaments and we repeated the Mark Gunger laugh your way to a better marriage. But outside of that, we've been real purposeful about this. But I asked him if we could revisit this particular subject because I kept bumping into people that seemed to be echoing the same sentiments and having the same kind of struggles. The last encounter I had was just about 2 weeks ago with a lady I was talking to that was having some struggles in her marriage, experiencing some real frustrations, some things that she felt where her husband was at fault. He had apologized, and she was still struggling. She was still chafing. She was still frustrated, bringing up the same things again. And I said to Tim, as I listened to her, she sounded like someone whose heart had not yet been satisfied by this apology, and that's why she was still pulling at it. It hadn't yet met that need. She was still hungering for the right apology, so she keeps trying to make it happen, and it's not happening. And oftentimes we think, I'm sorry is enough. Most of the time it isn't. And that's why the title of this series, When Sorry Isn't Enough. Now, just as a disclaimer, because we always want to make sure you're aware of where we're coming from. Of course, aside from Scripture, aside from the Bible, we've got three different books that we're using. Two of them are written by Gary Chapman. If you were with us many, many moons ago when we did the Five Love Languages, same author, and in fact, kind of a similar premise because we're going to be looking at the five apology languages. And if you're familiar with the love language idea of we all hunger for and desire expressions of love in one of five different ways, usually. And he refers to that as our love tank. You know, when we receive that, then that love tank is filled. Kind of the same premise with apology. There's five different ways of apology, languages of apology, but there's going to be one or two that your heart's going to be hungering for, that you're going to be listening for when there's been an offense or when there's been a wrong in some way. And you've probably learned through your own life experiences, not all apologies hit you the same way. There's a difference in them. And then the third book is called Effective Apology, and that's written primarily for business leaders and people in leadership positions. So we're going to start with our notes. I think he told you they're not on the screen. This is a day you're going to want your papers for those of you that like to bypass that because that's your visual this morning. But apology is humanity's response to imperfection. Apology is humanity's response to imperfection. It's an obligation owed to those that we've mistreated, but it's also a gift. It's a gift that we give. It benefits those that we've wronged in some way, but it pays dividends to the one that is doing the apologizing as well. We'll examine that a little bit later in the lesson. But an apology sends the clearest signal that we have strength of character, that we have courage, that we care more about truth, that we care more about the relationship, that we care more about the other person than we do ourselves, our own comfort, or just being right. Because a lot of times, that being right comes right up to the top of the list. And that's what this series is going to help us sift through. See if any of these situations sound vaguely familiar to you. Maybe you've encountered something kind of similar in your life. My daughter is late over and over again. She's a wonderful young woman, but she's just habitually late to our house, to dinner, to church, you name it. It isn't a huge deal, but I wish just once she would say she's sorry. It's not my daughter. I love my husband, but I'm tired of repeated apologies without behavior change, especially when it comes to household chores. Don't just say I'm sorry and forget to mop the floor. Remember to actually do it. My brother swindled money from me. He's never told me that he feels badly about what he did, and I don't really care about the money, but I feel like he should at least try and make it right somehow. Or this one. My coworker never apologizes. His procrastination makes things harder for me. His errors cause more work for me. I've mentioned it before. I know that doing these things is part of my job, but it would make things so much better if just once he would acknowledge what he does and how it affects me. Ever live kind of situation similar to that? I know I have. See, our society tends to send kind of conflicting messages when it comes to this whole idea and art of apology. On the one hand, we value humility and somebody owning up to their mistakes. But on the other hand, when things go wrong, what's the first thing we tend to want to do? Blame somebody else. Surely it's somebody else's fault. Don't let this be my fault. It's because of somebody or something else. We value apology in the abstract, but we're more reluctant participators when it comes to our own life, especially when it feels like it's going to cost me something and the cost is going to be great. But the real benefit of apologizing is that it brings you face to face with the consequences of your actions and forces you to confront the truth. And the facts, sorry, my bad. I'll keep my blank. Oh, wait, I don't care. It's not on the screen. You'd have never known. It forces you to confront the facts. See, making mistakes isn't the problem. Everybody's going to make mistakes. It's what we do about those mistakes that matter most. And a well-spoken apology can diffuse resentment. It can take out the sting out of anger. It can put the relationship back on a more solid footing, and sometimes it can make it even better than it was before. What we don't need, though, is just more apologies. You know, have you ever been around somebody that just apologizes for everything? You know, it just becomes background noise at that point. We don't need more apologies. We need more effective apologies. It's really good to have you here, Frank. Welcome back. I was busy in the back when you came in. It's good to have you here. Sorry about that. Little ADD going on with me this morning. But have you ever been given an apology that kind of just fell flat on your ears? You know, you heard it and you thought, you know, I almost wish she hadn't said anything at all. You know, sometimes a half apology will do more damage than the apology that they gave. You know, sometimes it would have been better if they'd had just kept their mouth shut. I'm going to show you a little clip. It's a little clip from the series Everybody Loves Raymond. Most of you are probably familiar with that. And as you might have guessed, in this scene, it's only like a minute long, but let me set the stage for you here. Marie and Deborah have had a clash. You know, Marie was out of line. Deborah got really angry. Marie got mad at Deborah's anger. And Marie has decided she's no longer speaking to Deborah. And Ray has approached both women, asked them both to apologize. And neither one has been willing to up to this point until Marie decides she's going to come and speak to Deborah. And this is where it picks up.
Deborah, may I talk to you?
Sure, Marie.
What happened the other day has really weighed on me. And I did some serious thinking. So, Deborah, I was wrong. Please forgive me.
Oh, wow, Marie, thank you. But you don't have to apologize. I'm fine, really.
No, Deborah, I want to. First of all, I'm sorry I came over when I did. I should know by now, by late afternoon, you've lost complete control of the kids. I brought company, which must have embarrassed you, since obviously you hadn't tidied up. So I understand why you felt the need to snap at me so. For all that, I'm sorry. All right?
All right? I know it's exaggerated for a sitcom, but have you ever gotten an apology kind of like that? Have you ever given an apology like that? Sometimes it would have just been better not to have apologized at all. An effective apology is more than just a quick apology. A half apology can make things worse. Apologies like that really make things worse. No matter how effective an apology is, it's not going to undo the damage, but it's going to come close. Now, if you also have your handout, I should have made sure we had extra pens on hand. Sorry about that. I didn't think about that one. But you've got a little quiz on your handout. It's an apology quotient, and this is to see how well you craft an effective apology. There's 10 statements there. You're going to be marking how likely it would be that you would say that. Now, here's the key. You need to be honest, obviously, but don't read these through and think that I know that's what I should say. Think about the normal, real, everyday you, and how likely is this something that you would actually say in your relationships? If that's the case, then mark likely. If it's something that you really can't feel comfortable, you can't imagine being comfortable saying, then you need to mark unlikely, okay? But be honest. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them because you'll know instinctively. Just mark either likely or unlikely. So, number one, I had no intention of offending you, but if I did, I'm very sorry. Number two, I know that my carelessness imposed cost on you. I insist that you accept this check as a gesture of my wanting to make things right. Number three, I know that you feel as bad as I do about what happened, and I'm certain you agree with me about what we need to do to get this behind us. Number four, I handled things very badly, and I'm sorry. I intend to work very hard to earn your trust so that someday it may be possible for you to forgive me. Number five, my pace okay for you? All right. I want to apologize for acting like such a jerk. Do you accept my apology? Number six, I acknowledge that my actions hurt you. I'm particularly ashamed that I betrayed you by, and fill in the blank, whatever the offense might be. Number seven, yes, I hurt you and I'm sorry, but here's what happened. Number eight, I'm sorry. I value our friendship, and I ask only that in the coming months you allow me to demonstrate that I keep my word. Number nine, I'm sorry for the inconvenience. My secretary is normally very reliable. And number 10, you were right, and I was wrong. I behaved very badly that night, and now I'm here to apologize. I'm sorry for losing my temper. I'm sorry for the ugly things I said. Most of all, I'm sorry for not coming to you right away. All right, so now you're going to tally up your score. So you're going to go through these for every odd-numbered statement, 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9. Give yourself 10 points every time you marked unlikely. 10 points for every unlikely on the odds, 0 for every likely that you marked on the odd-numbered statements. Okay, 10 points, unlikely on the odds. For the even-numbered statements, 2, 4, 6, 8, and 10, give yourself 10 points for every time you marked likely and 0 for every time you marked unlikely. Okay, you follow? Any questions? On the even numbered statements, 10 points for every likely. All right, and then tally those up. Got only have to count by tens. That's an easy one. You okay over there?
Yeah, we're good.
All right. Here's how the author put these scores for you, okay? If you scored 0 to 20, here's your category, clueless. In fact, he says, who's your apology coach, Attila the Hun? These apologies are defensive and begrudging. Apology 101 is in order. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. The next one, if you scored 30 to 50, you're a novice. Your grasp of apology is rudimentary. Your relationships at work and at home have probably suffered because of it. But if you aspire for better, then apology is a critical skill for you to learn. If you scored 60 to 80, this is accomplished. Well done. You practice effective apology at home and at work. On occasion, however, your apologies are not as effective as possible. If you scored 90 to 100, you're in the expert category. Congratulations. Your AQ demonstrates that you apologize at a world-class level. You have an understanding of the technical and emotional qualities of the apology.
Yeah, but you apparently apologize a lot. If you're in,
you've learned how to do it well. You may not do it a lot, but you've certainly learned how, you've crafted that. So that is very true. Now, I know it's always better to focus on what to do instead of what not to do, but let me mention a couple of phrases to you so that your ears get trained for what not to say in the language of an apology, words that you want to leave out of an apology conversation. Haven't you gotten over that yet? Well, I'm sorry that you were offended. I asked for and received forgiveness from God already. Well, I should be excused because you're just too sensitive. I was only joking. Why do you always? Well, if you hadn't, you sound just like your mother. Well, that's just silly. That shouldn't bother you. That's life. What's the big deal? Give me a break. You just need to get over it. There's nothing I can do about it now. I can't take away the past. Why can't you just let bygones be bygones? Now, a lot of those phrases, there's nothing wrong with them in normal conversation, but they shouldn't be part of an apology conversation because they're not going to satisfy and meet the need that you're hoping to meet when you started this apology process to begin with. Now, in a perfect world, we wouldn't need to be hearing about all this. We wouldn't need to be learning about these things because we wouldn't need to be apologizing, but we don't live in a perfect world. We're humans. We make mistakes. We do these things that we shouldn't do. But in reality, a relationship can't thrive without effective apologies, and you would be foolish to try to make that happen. They can exist. Notice I used the word thrive. Sometimes existing is a little difficult, but they really won't thrive. Now, there's several generalities about the language of apologies that I'm going to mention here. And remember, these are just generalities. The first one is a generality about gender. Now, next week, I'm going to be talking more specifically about some gender differences in the apology language when it comes to men and women. But in general, studies have shown that men have a harder time apologizing than women, and they do it less often than women do. Another generality involves culture. There can be cultural differences. Something, you may do something in one culture and it may be considered offensive. You do the same thing in another culture and it's not offensive at all. So there's some cultural generalities. For example, in the Inuit or in the Eskimo culture, if one is out trekking and they run out of snow or they run out of food or they're in need of something, it's perfectly acceptable to walk into somebody else's igloo when nobody else is home and eat what you want and take what you need. You do that in our culture, it's considered breaking and entering, and you will be arrested for that. So there's some cultural differences. Now, another interesting generality involves income. In 2007, they questioned 8,000 respondents, and they presented them with this situation, asking whether they would apologize in three situations. If they would apologize when they felt they were entirely to blame for a problem, when they thought they were only partially to blame for a problem, or when they believed they were totally blameless. And then they also had to mark their income range. And what they discovered was that a person's willingness to apologize was a predictor of a person's place in the income ladder. May not be what you think, because here's what they found. 92% of people earning $100,000 or more apologize when they believe they're to blame. Among those that make $25,000 or less, only 52% of them apologized when they believed they were to blame. And even when they considered themselves completely blameless, 22% of the higher earners said, "I'm sorry," compared to just 13% of the lower income earners. And from this, they discovered that apologizing now and then, even when you don't think you're wrong or when you don't feel like you had to, is an indicator of confidence and strong people skills. And people who display these traits typically are the ones that tend to advance within an organization. And a personality that is undefended and willing to confront and learn from their mistakes was an attribute found among long-term successful people. And then taking this another step further, other studies showed that stock prices are higher in companies that have CEOs that accept accountabilities than those run by CEOs who blame poor performance on external factors. That's internal responsibility versus external blame. Same application could be made in our personal relationships. See, an effective apology shows humility. Shows humility. It models respect for other people. It demonstrates a desire to learn. An apology is the practice of extending ourselves when we value the relationship more than we value the need to be right. An effective apology, here's another blank on your handout. An effective apology is not about the situation that prompted it. It's about the relationship that requires it. And that's the scope through which we look at these apologies. An apology challenges us to be humble. And a good definition of humility you've probably heard before: humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less often. And of course, Jesus was our perfect example of humility. Philippians 2, 4 through 11, it says, "Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. He became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever. So that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow and worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all to the glorious honor of God the Father." You know, I find that when I'm reading, I like the NIV, when I'm memorizing, I NIV, but bringing out a point that's message paraphrase just kind of puts a whole new blossom on the tree, so to speak. And it does there in this passage as well. Effective apology produces humility. An apology shows we accept responsibility for an offense or a grievance. It expresses remorse in a direct, personal manner, offering restitution and promising not to do it again. It's a whole lot more complex than we often think it is. Oh, certainly. Yeah. Effective apology produces humility. An apology shows we accept responsibility for an offense or grievance. There should be a blank there for you. And expresses remorse in a direct, personal manner, offering restitution and promising not to do it again. Okay. Now, unfortunately, we offend people. You know, for most of us, we don't mean to, but we do. We offend people. And we get offended. It's probably already happened to you this week. It may have happened to you already today. I don't know. But it's going to happen. It happens in our life. We're human. But an apology acknowledges, yes, you have a reason to be hurt. You may even have a reason to be angry. But an apology helps us move past the anger, keeps us from being stuck in the past, lingering over that offense, just kind of hanging over the garbage can, sniffing in that same offense. Apology helps us move past that. Now, at one time or the other, you're going to find yourself offended. You're going to find yourself being the one needing to apologize. But an apology benefits both parties. A lot of times we often think it's only the gift for the one receiving the apology, but both sides have benefits that come from an effective apology. And we're going to look at those as we close out this lesson this morning. To the offended, an apology restores dignity and honor. It restores dignity and honor. See, when someone has been offended or they've been humiliated by someone, the number one need is the restoration of dignity and honor. That's the number one thing that they're looking for and they're hungry for. And through this gift of apology, they're reassured they weren't at fault. They're reassured that they didn't invite the offense. They didn't encourage it, that mistreatment. And the apologizer is owning up to their responsibility for what they did, for what they said, how they behaved. And it's a owning up that is a gift to the offended person, to the person they're apologizing to, and to their heart. So an apology restores. Apology also provides. It provides the assurance of safety in the relationship with the offender. See, when we've been hurt, a lot of times the very natural first thing that comes to your mind is, are they going to do that again? Did they do it on purpose or was it just by accident? You know, how can I feel less vulnerable when we've been hurt or mistreated in some way? There's been a grievance done. We question those things. And what an apology does is reassure them, this was not intentional. This was a one and done. I'm not going to repeat this. I'm sorry. You know, I was wrong. And it goes through the steps of effective apology. And it sends the message that you're safe with me in this relationship still. I'm aware of the hurt. I'm aware of your needs. And this is still a safe place for you to be. And then along with that, an apology reaffirms. It reaffirms for the offended that the rules and the values that govern the relationship up to this point are still going to be in place as you move forward from that place. It protects the sense of trust that they can have in you and that they can have in the relationship that's been present up to that point. Now, obviously, the more intimate the relationship, the greater the need is going to be for this apology to affirm those things. You know, you'll need those things at a far greater level for your spouse than you will for, you know, a store clerk that has to apologize to you or, you know, a casual acquaintance. There'll be varying degrees there. So it's really easy to see how an apology helps the offended, but they also bring great benefit to the apologizer. The apologizing keeps us aligned with reality. When we are apologizing, it keeps us aligned with reality. See, even when the facts about our behavior, when we're having to face what we've said or what we've done or how we've acted, it's not pleasant. It may not be convenient. It may not be attractive. But we're always going to be more successful when we're willing to accept truth, when we're willing to accept reality and connect with the reality of what we've done. And when we see that what we've said or done and how it made an impact, and we're willing to address it, then we're not only honoring the other person, we're honoring ourselves as well. Keeps us aligned with reality. Second thing it does, apologizing permits us to be imperfect. You're not perfect. And that is your acknowledgement that you aren't perfect. It doesn't automatically erase the hurt. An effective apology is not a get out of jail free card. It's not a bargaining chip to be used. It doesn't make our imperfections disappear, but it does provide an environment for healing. It does provide an acknowledgement of mistake, making amends, resolving to do better. And those are a whole lot easier goals than the goal of perfection, because you're never going to reach that goal. But these are goals that you can reach. And that's what this does. It allows you to be imperfect. Apologizing helps you develop a lasting sense of integrity. Integrity. When you develop the courage to admit you're wrong and be willing to work past any resistance that you have towards apologizing, the uncomfortableness of it all, you bring a healthy dose of self-awareness that affects not only you, but those that are around you. And then the other thing that an apology does to the apologizer is apologizing allows you to be more empathetic. E-M-P-A-T-H-E-T-I-C, for those that need help with that. It makes you more aware and less likely to repeat the offense. That's how it's connecting you with truth, connecting you with reality. It's going to make you more aware and less likely to repeat the offense. It releases you from trying to hide your mistakes and hide the things that you have done or parts of your character. It keeps you connected with those that you care about. I'm going to close real quick with a quote from Gary Chapman's book, this illustration on your notes there. It's about this 5-gallon container. It says, picture your conscience as a 5-gallon container strapped to your back. And whenever you wrong another, it's like pouring a gallon of liquid into your conscience. 3 or 4 wrongs and your conscience is getting full and you're getting heavy. A full conscience leaves one with a sense of guilt and shame. The only way to effectively empty the conscience is to apologize to God, the person that you've offended. And when this is done, you can look God in the face, you can look yourself in the mirror, and you can look the other person in their eyes. Not because you are perfect, but because you have been willing to take responsibility for your failure. Now, the good news is the art of apology, it can be learned. We can learn these things. And that's what we're going to look at over the next few weeks. As I mentioned, there's 5 different languages to apology. And for everybody in here, there's going to be 1 or 2 of those languages of apology that your ear and your heart hunger for when you've been hurt. They're the ones that are going to mean the most to you. And a little clue, if you're married, it's probably going to be the opposite of the ones that your spouse listens for and hungers for in the art of an apology. But we're going to look at these things over the next few weeks, because the key here is learning these languages of apology and then using them, speaking them, and applying them in your relationships across the board. We've saw the impact in business. It's an impact in personal. You got anything to add? Okay, I'm going to hush. All right, okay, good. You were squirming. I thought I was okay. All right. Hey, I hope you can come back next week. Let's pray before you go. God, thank you so much for how you have created us and knit us together and placed us in relationships with other people so that we can grow and we can learn. And I pray that we take to heart what we've heard this morning. Speak to us as we go throughout the week, as we mull these over in our heads. Holy Spirit, speak individually to each one of how, what they need to learn and how they want, you want them to grow in this area. We'll give you thanks and praise. We appreciate your presence with us this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.